Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me, as always, is David Hilton.
You pull that dick out of your mouth, or no? I was going to talk politics to start this show, but I'm thinking now.
What's political?
Dude, we talked about it a little bit, the fraud thing. The fucking Nick Shirley Act in California. I don't understand how people can just not give a shit. How can you not give a shit? How is someone in California, can you just be like, oh, we'll just let them do what they want. They'll pass the act and it'll be fine and everything's great. And like they're literally stealing hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars from people, and no one gives a flying fuck about it.
I really think that there's like three groups of people when it comes to that kind of stuff. You have 40% of people that are hardcore one way, and they're guided simply by opposing whatever the other side does.
Do you think it's really 40%?
You have 40% of people that are hardcore the other way, and they're only guided by opposing whatever the other side does.
I don't think it's that high, man.
And then you have 20% left in the middle. And of the 20% left in the middle, I think 10%, half of them, are too dumb to care. And I think that leaves you with 10% that are actually like taking time to think through things and consider things and decide what's right and all of that. And until that 10% becomes a 40%, the nation will never change its direction.
If those percentages are correct, humanity is doomed.
It's doomed already anyway.
I mean, from a biblical standpoint, yes, we're all doomed. Like, it's coming to an end, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes I don't like to think about it that way because I think maybe there is a lot of time. I want to think there's a lot of time for people to get their act together. 40% on each side,
80%
just
total.
Do whatever the fuck they're told.
Yeah.
That's fucking scary.
I mean, all you got to do is watch The View.
Right? I can't believe The View's still on TV. Is it still on TV?
The fact that it's still on TV tells you that it's a lot more than you think.
Oh, but grandma watches The View.
I mean, Trump could wear a pink shirt and they would like launch an attack against the color pink.
You know what I mean?
Like literally every step he does, they oppose.
I was thinking it was more like there's 20% on the left and there's 20% on the right that are just completely, they'll do whatever the fuck they're told by the people that are above them. And that's, you know what I mean? And then there realistically is like 60% of the population is more in the middle and they kind of try to judge and balance and they pick one or two things and pushes them this way.
Here's your
one
proof
or two
that
things
you're 60% ain't even fucking close. Just go look at the voter turnout.
No, I think the voter turnout thing is those 60%. I think
you think 60% of the people show up at the polls?
No, I think the 60% in the middle, half of those people, 30% of the country know that there's nothing they can do and they're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Because they're not pulled one way or the other and they're like, you're fucking retarded. You're fucking retarded. And I'm just, fuck it. I'm not voting. I think that's what.
Or maybe look at our last city council.
40-20 in the middle. How about that?
You look at our last city council vote here in Blue Springs. There's 60,000 residents in Blue Springs. Let's say of the 60,000, let's say maybe 40,000, 50,000 are of voting age. Guess how many people showed up at the polls?
I don't know. I vote for Lee Summit.
Less than 2,000 people.
And then they complain on the Blue Springs community page.
Well, the ones that show up are the ones that,
oh my God,
are reading into issues and casting their vote and everything else. Everyone else is just bitching.
I fucking weep for humanity.
Yeah.
At this point.
It's fucking crazy.
You and I were talking about this. We're not going to talk exactly about what we talked about before the show, but it gets to the point where there is like, I don't want to say no hope, but there's just no hope. Political stance and the arguments and the right way to do things, like there's no hope for that.
It gets to the point where the only hope is resorting to things that haven't been done since 1776 and most of America is too afraid to do today.
I said this, I think last week we were talking before, after the show about, you were saying, you know, until a lot of people rise up and want to change things about taxes and, you know, things that happen in the world and all that. And as much poverty as that is in this country, even with that, most people are still way too comfortable for anything like 1776 to ever happen again. Like, dude, you can go get a steak for $4 at the fucking grocery store. Like, back in the day, the only people eating steak were kings.
Yeah.
And queen. You know what I mean? And noblemen. Like, people still live very, very comfortably. Like, you can get a bottle of vodka for $9.99 and a steak for $5 and have the best night of your life. And a potato for 50 cents and have the best night of your life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're just, people are too comfortable. And until that fucking changes,
we like to take, I don't know. We like to say the Revolutionary War was where Americans rose up against England, right?
No, it was where English people rose up against a king and said, no, we're going to do this stuff on our own.
And became Americans.
And became Americans. Okay. Yeah.
That's only,
to your point,
that was only 3 to as much as 10% of the population back then.
Oh, it took 10% to start that thing?
Yeah. And that was with a,
hey, that gives me hope.
Well, 3 to 10.
It would take more than that now, though.
Oh, it would take a significant amount more, because you didn't have regulated police back then. You didn't have regulated military back then.
Well, there weren't jets bombing your ass.
You didn't have...
You know what I mean?
You didn't have...
Like, you had to wait...
Supreme courts.
Yeah, you had to wait 3 months for them to sail across the ocean and then attack your ass with one single musket ball. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like, but the Revolutionary War was like the people against the government.
Yeah, no, right? I get it.
It wasn't country versus country. It was...
I know, but you had time.
Right.
You had time, and you weren't going to be wiped out in fucking 5 minutes. I mean, Joe Biden said it best. Unless you got an F-16, what are you going to do?
I can't believe you just referenced Joe Biden saying something best, because what Joe Biden said best was, that's what he said best.
You know what Kamala said best? Here,
do not come. Do not come. All right, so.
Oh, my God. I just.
Civil War.
Oh.
This was America versus America, right?
Yeah, I know.
10% population.
On which side? Both sides?
Total.
5% and 5%?
Or
10% of
10%
the
total.
South was like, fuck you guys.
No, 10%, well, 10% of the South, 10% of the North, if you want to call it that. But
what's 10% of the population right now? What's our U.S. population? I know you're looking it up on your phone. What's 10% of the U.S. population right now? We're going to move on. We're not going to talk about this.
It's 340 million people.
What's 10% of 340 million?
That would be 340,000.
I don't think that's correct.
340 million times 0.1. Oh, 34 million. Okay. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, you'd have to get 34 million people.
It was 3.4 million. Or did you say 34?
34 million.
34, yeah.
So you'd have to get 34 million
this
people to agree.
Tried to tell me 340,000. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Kansas City, how many people are in KC? Like 1.5?
You can't even get 340 million people or 34 million people. You can barely get 34 million people that are alive to vote and that are citizens of the U.S.
That's my point, bro.
So.
My point is there's no hope.
Yeah.
It makes me sad. I'm not posturing here. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
People are getting fucked.
The challenge with it all is,
don't
though, is if you roll over and say there's no hope and you just give up, then basically you're just agreeing to, you're agreeing under duress to just give half your paycheck to corrupt pedophiles.
Oh, I think
and fraud.
You're misreading me. I think there's no hope for everyone else. I have hope for me. I will do whatever the fuck I got to take to lower that burden.
Oh, yeah.
And I will work hard enough that I will live in the top 5% and not give a fuck.
Did you hear what...
I'm saying there's no hope for the other fucking retards that just don't care. You know? I'm fine living in an apartment on my fucking EBT. Like, dude, come on. You're better than that. You deserve better than that. Did I hear what? I told you I was going to stab you today, and it's still in the cards. And I told you that this morning on a call. What time was our first call? 10? 9? Whatever fucking time that was.
So, Ilhan Omar.
Oh, Captain fucking Crook herself.
Yeah. She's chief pirate.
Didn't I have a pocket knife in here?
That's good comedy. She had a financial disclosure statement that she filed in 2025.
Yeah, for like...
And that said that she had a net worth of $18
million. Yeah, and now she said it's $94,000.
And now she's like, well, there was an accounting error, and it's actually somewhere between $18,000 and $95,000.
I don't understand how people believe that.
Well, for one,
dude,
if you don't believe it...
You're retarded.
Well, if you don't believe it...
You're fucking retarded. But
I guess, what are we not believing? Are we not believing that there was a real accounting error and that she was never worth $30
million? I'm believing that she was worth $30 million and she's lying now.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I don't believe the...
If you believe that she did actually have an accounting error...
Occurred.
Then that means that you believe that we put somebody in charge in government that could make a $30 million mistake. And just be like, oopsie, hee hee, like a girl hitting a curb at a drive-thru, right? Oopsie.
Why has it got to be a girl, sexist?
Have you seen the rims on every Nissan Altima out there? Fucking A.
That's just good stuff, dude.
Yeah. But
the fact that Nissan Altima came to your mind is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
I was just telling Mason the other day, there's an Altima that was all over the road. And I'm like, watch out. That's an Altima. Stay clear.
I was thinking
like
Chevy,
a llama. They
Chevy
spit.
Malibu.
Malibus are dead by now. Ever since they took out the 3800 V6 in them.
And oh, dude.
So.
What the fuck?
In a roundabout way, we're talking about standards again today, and right now we're talking about the piss-poor standards that are set forth in government and the fact that nobody fucking cares, so get out there and goddamn vote. It's the one liberty you have left, and you're about ready to lose it if you don't use it.
Dude, I'm telling you.
And what I mean when I say you're going to lose it is it won't matter in the future, because unless we stop all the corruption, the Democrats just find a way to keep voting themselves in through all the corruption.
Yeah.
As they've already exposed in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So.
And about to be in California.
The Democratic leadership let all of these Somalis come in. And then
Obama actually put them in Minnesota.
Well, the Democratic leadership of Minnesota allowed the Somalis to arrive in Minnesota. And then they gave them jobs. And then they gave them government-funded pay, government-funded contracts, only under the agreement that you take half and you give half back to me so I can run a campaign to keep myself in office.
So
that
your
is
funding
bullshit.
Continues.
And that means that taxpayers paid for the Somalis to arrive there. That means that taxpayers paid for the Somalis to have fraudulent businesses. And that means that every taxpayer in the U.S. paid for the Democratic leadership to create fraud rings that keep themselves in office in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So.
And if you think it's not true.
It's absolutely true.
Then I would suggest you look at California right now with the legislation they're trying to pass so that journalists cannot try to...
Investigative journalists.
Cannot investigate fraud.
Yeah.
Like, how obvious does it have to be?
Yeah.
Before you're like, you know what? Maybe these motherfuckers are right.
Have you seen the videos of Nick Shirley interviewing him in the hallway?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're listed
as an author of this bill. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know who you are.
He has it. He's like, no, seriously, it's like, this is you right here. He's pointing at it. This is you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who you are. And then they get in their black car and leave.
Dude, it's fucking insane, man.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
I would take an assault charge over that. I'd punch him in the face and be like, you know who I am now.
Dude.
I'd probably take an assault charge over that.
I'm thinking if I would.
Yeah.
And I think you... I think I might pay the $500 fine and just fucking move on
it's
with my
life. It's just assault. It's nothing huge.
Dude, I don't have anything on my record. It'd just be probation.
Yeah. Oh, no. They'd probably try to get you for felony attempted murder. or some shit.
Probably.
But first, hey, speaking of
the first thing you got,
Democratic leadership.
The first person you got to punch, just let everyone know. Like, look, security guys are tough. The security that's for those congressmen, they're not tough guys.
No, they're vegans.
You
plant-based now. You got to call him the politically correct term.
You got to catch him off guard, punch him in the throat first, and then attack the
bullshit.
Person. Oh, yeah. Dude, that guy's going down easy.
Did you watch Ilhan Omar's security guard stop her from getting squirted with vinegar? No. Sat there and watched the whole fucking thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. That when that guy stands up, you dry throat him, then you go after him. Like, that's how you're supposed to approach that.
So the last time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, they had this big Super Bowl rally. Two gangbangers shot each other.
I don't fucking talk about this.
Shot each other up at the rally, missed each other, never hit each other.
Killed an innocent
hit
woman.
Hit 17 other people and killed an innocent woman. Both of their charges got dropped.
Yeah.
And that's absolute fucking horseshit. Because, hey, that's most people don't know this. If you guys want to commit crimes, come to Kansas City. Show up here. Like, just get here.
You know what? Just tweet.
It's free reign.
I say tweet. At Mayor Quentin Lucas and just ask him, can I come here and commit crime? He'll probably just say, yeah, go ahead, buddy.
They don't have a jail.
That guy is such a piece of shit, man.
Did you know this?
I know they don't have a jail.
Kansas City, Missouri does not have a jail.
It's been a year and a half.
None.
They're shipping them out of here.
So they will do anything to drop your charges or give you a lesser sentence or a probation or a work release or try to rehabilitate your 30-time felon ass because they don't have a jail.
Dude,
so
do you want
to
hear something?
Please come to
up?
Kansas City and please ransack the fucking city.
Last weekend, so today's Tuesday, Saturday and Sunday, Layla has, so when their GA, Girls Academy Soccer season starts up, okay, mm-hmm. It's the whole Midwest.
Yep.
From Minnesota all the way down to Arkansas, okay? So all of the teams travel. So we were at home this weekend. Two teams from Wisconsin, we've already been to Wisconsin, they came down here to play, mm-hmm. Okay? They stayed near the Power and Light District for some fucking weird reason. Nice hotel, I guess. Well, they went to P&L one night. Like, I don't know if they went to McFadden's or I don't even mm-hmm. remember what's down there anymore. The cops came in and told, or one of the other parents that was not associated with the girls' soccer team came over there and said, hey, you guys might want to go. And they were all the parents are like, what do you do? Because we talked to the parents, yeah. You know, from the other team.
What do you mean?
What do you mean we want to? Well, they're outside. Some guy was had a gun, was threatening people, and the cops are here, and they're taking him to jail and all that stuff. Like, dude.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a high security area downtown.
Entertainment district.
Where people can be entertained.
Yeah.
And take their families and do, you know what I mean? Like, these poor girls are down there just trying to have a nice time. Can't even do that anymore.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to talk about a dumpster fire of a city, Kansas City, Chicago are like one and two.
Yep.
It's a fucking disgrace what's going on.
Yeah.
It's horrible, man.
You don't got to tell me.
I've
lived
it. It's fucking bad, dude. It pisses me off, man.
Yeah.
It just, it's fucking, it's horrible. I don't know how in their right mind the Royals are thinking they're going to move downtown. If you don't want to be where you're at, go to Clay County.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't fucking understand it.
Money. John Sherman wants money.
Jackson County ain't got any fucking money. Clay County will give you the same money.
Yeah.
Just be patient.
He wants it coming and going, though. He wants the money for coming, and then he wants the money to go to ticket sales, too.
I know.
And you put it in Clay County, and nobody's going to buy tickets.
Yeah, they would. Dude, it's right over the river.
I guarantee you, if they put it in fucking Jackson County downtown, the city will probably come up with some ticket or some bullshit like that.
Well, they're trying to give them $600 million right now.
Yeah. They'll come up with some reason to attract the less than desirable individuals to the games. Like,
you're probably right.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
They'll say, well, everyone should have equal access and equal rights to attend a ball game. And so on Thursday nights, we've got dollar dogs and dollar beers and dollar shooters and dollar tickets. And so
it's low income night. Fights.
It might as well be a fucking carnival cruise at the Royal Stadium.
Oh my God.
Nothing but hooligans and street
fights. I will say this. If they move downtown, I will go to one game a year. If they go to Clay County, I mean, I'll probably go to 10.
I don't even go to one game a year now.
It's because where it's at now is a dump too.
Well, and it's fucking expensive.
Royals games are cheap, bro.
No.
Yeah, they are.
By the time you pay to park, you buy a ticket, and you get the whole family, like a dog and a peanut and everything else. I mean, you're in it for...
So they have Dollar Friday nights and fireworks. If you go on, you can take a family of four for $100.
I'll believe it when I see it.
$125.
I mean, shit, parking's half that.
Dude, I've been. It's not $50 to park at a Royals game. No. It's not Chiefs parking. No.
Chiefs is 80.
It's not $50. No. I think it's 25.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Look it up.
It's not that I don't believe you. I'm just surprised.
It's $25. If you buy certain tickets on family nights, you get a parking pass too. A free parking pass, I think.
How much is parking at Kauffman Stadium? $20 for general and $30 for reserve, plus a dollar fee.
Yeah. I was thinking it was
prices increase at the gate to $30 to $50.
Yeah.
If you don't buy them in advance.
Yeah, you just buy them in advance.
Okay.
Dude, they got the app now.
Yeah.
People that don't buy shit in advance anymore, what the fuck's wrong with you? It takes fucking 5 minutes.
Yep.
Man, you're right. We're both on one today.
Oh yeah.
Where's that pocket knife?
I don't know. I don't think.
Did you hide it?
I don't think we want a pocket knife in here.
I told you. it's here somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find it.
Hey, I almost pulled a Dave this weekend.
Fucking A. What kind of Dave?
Almost broke my arm.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Jacking off?
Now that'll just give me carpal tunnel. Repeated small motion.
Don't you wear a wrist brace already?
No, I was...
I've never broke my arm.
What
are you talking about?
Hurting yourself.
Oh, I do hurt myself a lot.
Yeah. No, I was...
I've stabbed myself.
Digging out a big old flower bed for my parents, and I had to haul it off, and there was a big boulder that came out of it, and a big boulder is about... I'm going to say 80 to 100 pounds. It's a little bit bigger than a bag of 80-pound concrete.
And you thought, I can lift this.
Oh, no, I did lift it.
I go to the gym. I'm tough, bitch.
But the dump lets me dump dirt for free.
Was it a decorative rock?
No, it was like just a roller underground.
Oh.
But the dump lets me dump stuff for free.
Just bring that shit and over to my house. I can use the landscaping.
They won't let me dump the, like, I got to put the rocks back in the trailer. The big boulders. They don't care about small shit, but they need dirt. The landfill always needs dirt.
Yeah.
So you can dump dirt for free. And so I take it up there and I dump it, and there's a big boulder sitting
off to the side.
Dude, next
time just bring it to my house, bro.
Well, just whatever. I didn't know you want dirt.
I don't, but I got a wood line. I dump. You know how much shit I fucking dump in there? It's free. It's close.
So I'm grabbing this big old boulder, and the back doors of the thing are open, so I can just throw it through the doors instead of like over the top.
Yeah.
Well, I just didn't position myself right, and I got this big old boulder, and I'm swinging it over to my left, and... the tarp bracket for the trailer, this big arching, like half-inch thick steel bracket comes up.
I know what you're talking about.
I thought my arm was going to go right over the top of that bracket, and I misjudged it, and my arm nailed the bracket. Well, so I got bracket on the outside of my forearm, and I got boulder on the inside of my forearm.
Boy, that hurt.
And I knew my arm was just going to bend backwards. And I mean, I didn't see it flex, but I just knew that I was going to watch my arm bend 90 degrees in a way that it's not supposed to. What happened instead was the arm held strong. It made my arm move like this and knocked me to the right and put me on my ass, like fell down on the ground.
I love it.
Because my arm, thankfully, didn't break.
Well, it's...
But, oh, my God.
Your elbow's not a fixed position.
Oh,
you
it
know
was,
what I mean?
It was bad. It was...
I feel you.
So bad. It was so swollen for like 2 days. But I don't bruise. It's this weird. I rarely ever get a bruise.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Seriously, where's that knife?
You could hit me in the chest with a baseball at 80 miles an hour, and then you'd be like, that's all the bruise you got? Like, it's just weird.
You don't drink enough.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I don't know. I can
think about smacking my wife's ass, and there'll be a handprint bruise on her ass.
Yeah, Janine's the same way.
Like, I just don't bruise.
I could literally grab her arm, like, not hard, like, just grab her and be like, hey, we're going to go over here. And, like, she'll have, like, five little bruises from my fingers.
He beats me.
I'm like, babe, I didn't even touch you.
Yeah.
She's like, I know.
So.
Well, Jesus, what's the matter with you?
It's a woman thing. Iron deficiency, I don't know.
I don't think it's a woman thing. I think it's my wife doesn't work out.
It's a fair skin thing? It's probably what it is, fair skin thing.
Man, maybe. So, I don't know.
I mean,
Should I start beating some?
You're a lot more of the opposite of fair skin than I am. But, I mean, I tan really easily.
Do
I don't
you?
Have fair skin.
How do you tan? You're so hairy. I don't know how the sun hits your fucking skin.
You know what they say about hairy guys? Clogged drains.
Little dicks? Oh.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up as I go, dude.
Today we're talking about the standard. And as David pointed out as we were getting ready for the show, he's like, didn't we just talk about this? And yes, we did talk about this 7 episodes ago. And I'm willing to bet that there are chronic listeners of this show that listen to every episode, no matter what, religiously and all this stuff. Well, we talked about standards 7 episodes ago, and you didn't change shit. You didn't change one fucking standard in your whole life.
As my buddy Ray says, the standard is the standard.
Yeah. And so we're talking about standards again. This time we're going to talk about them in a little bit different light. We have a lot of standards in our company. And those standards are why we are what we are and what set us apart from other companies. And so those standards, if we avoid those standards, if we deviate from those standards, then everything falls apart. We have a very specific client experience that we have our technicians put our clients through. We have a very exacting way for how we communicate to them. We have a very exacting way for what we say. Without a script.
You okay?
We don't use scripts, but we have like bullet point conversations that we need to have with every interaction. And as we, I mean, I'm living proof of this. I've watched our guys drop the standards over time, and then our performance drops. And then very soon after performance drops, morale drops. And then very soon after morale drops, somebody's head gets checked out of the game and they end up quitting. The first domino to fall was we didn't hold guys accountable to the standard when it was tiny. And the interesting thing about standards is once you set them in your business, people want to be held accountable to them. They'll tell you they don't because it's your natural reaction. They'll say like, oh, here comes the boss. He's gonna get on me for not clocking into my job.
Yeah,
and then the boss comes over and says, dude, why didn't you clock into your job? I knew it. He's always on my ass. He's always yelling at me, right?
Yeah.
They
I know.
They used to say I yell at him all the time.
Janine tells me I yell.
I've never raised my voice once.
She's like, you get so mad and you're yelling and stuff. And you just, babe, I've never yelled at you. We've been married 20 years. Never raised my voice. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. But here's what happens if you don't. Like that guy clocks in. The guy doesn't clock in
at his job.
And the manager comes over and the guy says, oh, he's going to talk to me about not clocking into my job. And the manager doesn't say anything. Well, then what happens is now the guy's like, oh.
Guess I don't have to clock into my jobs.
Guess I don't have to clock into my jobs now. And I guess my manager doesn't care about me. They don't recognize they're thinking that, but that's exactly what they're thinking. Because when you vocalize a standard and you communicate a standard, and you hold people accountable to that standard, it's because you have enough respect for them to absolutely know they can achieve the standard. The moment you quit holding people accountable to standards, it's because I don't respect you enough to waste the breath any longer. And so now animosity builds, friction builds, more standards get dropped, less accountability happens. And then at some point, not a single standard in the company is being adhered to anymore. And a standard-less company is an employee-less company.
Yeah.
Why the hell would I work anywhere if they don't care when I clock in? If they don't care what I sell? If they don't care how I talk to customers? If they don't care how I dress? If they don't care what I say?
Yeah.
If they don't care how much time I spend at home?
Yeah. It's a slippery slope, too.
It's a very slippery slope.
Because the guys that do care, that are doing those things, you think they don't notice that
they check out real fast
that John Jones over here is not doing any of the work, and all of a sudden he's like, well, dude, if the boss doesn't care that this guy's not doing his job,
right,
why the fuck am I doing my job for the same money that John's making?
Right.
Why the fuck would I go through all that effort?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, your culture's shit. No one's doing what they're supposed to. You can't understand why guys aren't making sales.
Yeah.
Like, you don't understand why their trucks are dirty and disgusting. Like, it's everything. Up to you to uphold the standard for everyone.
And you
it's
have
not
to uphold
just
it.
The one guy. When you do it for the one guy, you're upholding the standard for everyone.
And you have to uphold it at the small scale. You let five things slide, you now have 5 points of animosity against that guy. You're now developing an anger against that guy. Whereas when it was one thing before the other four things happened, you're just pointing it out. Hey, bro.
Yeah.
You forgot to clock into your job today. Make sure you get that done.
Yeah. I mean, that's a more of a new manager, new leader thing. Like, once you've been in the position for a while, you realize and understand that.
Yeah.
But, man, you can literally drive yourself insane by not communicating or holding up the standard of what's going on inside of that business. Whether you're the owner of the business or not, doesn't matter.
A great movie to reference this is Coach Carter.
You've been referencing Coach Carter a lot lately.
It's a good movie to uphold standards. He goes into an organization that's in complete disarray. It's a high school basketball team. But goes into an organization that's in complete disarray, and he establishes very basic standards. You will dress like this on game days.
Yeah.
If you don't have a tie, we're going to go get you a tie at the thrift shop. Doesn't have to be a nice tie. Borrow your uncle's, borrow your dad's. If you don't have any of that, thrift shop it is. I think he even says, I'll buy you one.
Yeah.
If that can't happen.
Yeah. 50 cents for a tie at the Goodwill, bro.
Right. But he says you will show up to practice on time. And if you don't, you're running laps and all this. And guys show up to practice 1 minute late. They're running laps. Standard is the standard, right?
As Mr. Ray says, and the standard is the standard.
And so now they end up going to the, you know, he ends up getting two guys, I think, quitting off the team because screw this guy. Who is he? He doesn't know who we are, blah, blah, blah. And then he reminds everybody else, like, how many games did you win last year? None. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
No shit.
You're about ready to do something you haven't done in a year. You're going to win a game. And but then prepping up for their first game, he doesn't even practice offense. The standard was defense wins.
Yeah.
So we're practicing defense. And so he ends up winning the first game, just letting them have like backyard hoop ball for offense, but a standardized defense. And they end up winning. And now after they've won the first game, he's like, you guys have earned the right to practice offense. And so then he starts going through all the plays and he names all his plays after ladies' names.
It's like cars, yeah. Same thing.
But lo and behold, those guys that said they couldn't be on a team or a guy was holding them accountable, what happens to those guys? They end up coming back on the team, begging for a spot back on the team because they realized, hey, having somebody hold me accountable to standards is actually kind of a good thing. I kind of like it. I kind of like the life I had when I was being held accountable to standards.
Yeah.
I kind of liked how I felt when I was being held accountable to standards. And so,
and the short-sighted view of that is when I am held to standards or people are held to standards, success is inherent. You know what I mean?
Well, failure is, I don't want to say success is inherent, but failure is much farther away.
No, I think success is inherent. And I don't mean success is in winning a basketball game, but success is in I feel better about myself.
Yeah.
I feel better about where I am.
Totally.
I am in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
So it's inherent that if I hold myself to a high standard, if someone holds me to a high standard, I will quote unquote win.
Yeah.
In life, you know, in business,
yep,
with money.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. It's just a natural occurring thing that happens when you hold yourself to a high standard.
Yeah. You look at some of the most successful athletes out there. They all have incredibly high standards, and that's the only way they live.
Yeah.
Right? Kobe, Jordan, Brady, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right? And we get a little bit of extra privy stuff with Mahomes because we get to see, like, Mahomes has a brother that was all the time into drama. Mahomes has a dad that's all the time into drama and all this. He got the same distractions everyone else has got. He's got a goofy brother and a goofy dad, right?
Yeah.
But yet he still lives by a certain standard, and look where he is because of it, right? But it's one of those things where how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so they, like, you go look in their houses. Their houses are immaculate. They keep a good standard in their house. You go look at the company they keep. They don't hang out with losers. They keep a good standard with the company that they keep. And now it's really cool to watch Michael Jordan get into NASCAR.
Winning.
Because he's winning.
Winning.
And it's because he's really good at putting standards in place and upholding the standards. I don't usually watch NASCAR, but this last one was in Kansas at the Kansas Speedway, so I was watching it just because
Their team won again.
It's right down the road. But I got to watch I got to listen to some like in-car audio of the drivers communicating to the crew chiefs and the crew. And most other drivers, they're like, this car's all over the place. It's loose into turn one and it's tight into turn four and you guys need to fix this shit and blah, blah, blah. Right?
Some of them are.
Not his team. His team's like, hey, I don't know what we can do about this, but the car's running great in the corners. It's when I cross these seams, it's getting a little slippery. And like when the left tires cross the seam, it's doing this. And when the right tires cross the seam, it's doing that.
Yeah.
But if you guys, before our next pit, if you guys could kind of put your heads together and figure out a way to give me a little bit more comfort in there, that would be much appreciated. It's a whole different level of communication.
Yeah.
Instead of, bah, 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 give you shit in gear, bah, bah, bah. It's like, hey, let's just approach this pragmatically. I'm giving you feedback of what the car's doing. I need you to give me feedback of how we can adjust it.
Yeah.
And it's that simple.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
What happens at the highest levels of everything.
Well, in high standard organizations,
yeah,
they realize that fighting and arguing isn't going to do anything. Now, you get into a physical sport like football, it's hard to separate the physical from the high standards. So you'll see guys yelling at each other on the sidelines, but it's because they've literally been yelling at each other like on the field, they have to yell to communicate.
Well, and they pound each other in practice.
Yeah.
And emotions are high. And and in certain like football, just like it takes a different level of emotional investment to get to that level.
Yeah, you're adding a physical contact.
Yes.
That you have to separate.
Yeah. And it's almost impossible. Some guys can do it, but the greatest ones, you'll see them.
Yeah,
you know, hey, you got to be doing this, you got to be doing that, and what you don't see, like, you see it sometimes, but then behind the scenes, you know, or after, it's like, hey, you know, I let that get the best of me. We're good. We apologized.
Yeah,
they set the standard of I have to be accountable for what I said in that moment.
Right,
and I'm gonna hold myself to that standard.
Yeah.
And I do it. The guys that, and you'll see this once in a while, not just in football, but and a lot of times in basketball too. Like, you'll see things like on SportsCenter. Oh, this guy got into it with this guy and blah, blah, blah. And you'll kind of hear about it for a while. And then like 3 months later, there's a fist fight in practice or something like that. Well, there was no standard there for I am going to hold myself accountable for what I said in the very beginning. And so, like you were saying earlier, that animosity builds and builds and builds and builds and then comes to a head down the road. Almost 90% of those instances, those teams, organizations, whatever, they're not winners.
No.
Those are usually guys fighting at the bottom.
Yep.
Like, it just is what it is.
Yeah. And ultimately, where standards first get applied is internally. If you can't hold yourself to a high standard, you will never, ever be able to hold anybody else to a high standard. Never once, ever. People don't do what you tell them to do. People do what you do. And so imagine if I went to a dietitian because I wanted to lose weight and the guy was overweight. Do you think I have any faith in my dietitian?
No.
No. Right? So I used to be a part of this organization. It was an entrepreneurship organization, and there was a fitness guru in that organization. And I can't remember. He called himself some weird. He called himself some nickname.
If you call yourself a nickname, that's not good.
Yeah, it was weird.
Someone else has to give you a nickname just for reference.
There's
from now on it.
There's a lot of people in entrepreneur organizations that are very focused on their physical fitness. They're very focused on their physical look, too. And it's because they realize that if I look like a sloppy Sam, nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to pay attention to me. I'm not going to garner the attention of the people I need. Okay? And that doesn't mean you got to be 6% body fat. But that means...
I think it's all dependent on what area you're...
Yeah. In other words, if you're trying to lead people to be the best version of themselves and you got a beer gut...
Yeah.
That's a conflict.
Yeah, like,
right?
Guy Fieri is you know, a cook. Guy Fieri, don't want him to be right. I don't want him to be skinny.
Right, right.
You know?
It depends on the area.
That's what I'm saying. It really depends.
I want to take culinary advice from a fat fucker.
Yeah.
Because he knows exactly what
he
tastes
good.
He
knows what tastes fucking good. That guy can fry a pork chop.
Yeah. Right? I'm not going to go get sumo wrestling advice from a string bean looking dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so this guy kind of positioned himself like, hey, when we come into town for these events, I'm going to lead the fitness classes. And of course, he's trying to sell you his memberships and all that stuff too.
Of course,
he does like digital fitness. Get I went to one.
Bent. Digital
and
fitness.
That's all I needed was one. I went to one and I realized this flabby dude, like I'm not even big into fitness yet at this point. This flabby dude is trying to teach me shit. No. Nope, you played your hand right there, buddy. How you do one thing is how you do everything, and you ain't doing you right, so you definitely ain't going to do right by me, right? And so...
I've seen a lot of flabby guys kick some ass, though.
Well, again, physical fitness and fighting are two different things, too.
No, I know. I'm just saying. It. Once again, it depends on your area.
Yeah. But... in other words, if you don't show personal discipline in your own life, you're never going to be able to get other guys to live a disciplined life. It's just that simple. And so let's take the overweight guy. You take the overweight guy who spends 5 years telling everybody, I've tried everything, nothing works, it's just my genetics. Bull fucking shit.
Dude, his truck bed's full of Busch Light cans. Like, bro.
Calories in versus calories out.
I'm thinking of someone very specific that I know.
Oh. No. Losing weight is as simple as calories in versus calories out.
And exercise.
No. You don't even need to. You could not exercise at all and lose weight. Exercise and the types of calories determine your body shape. But losing excess fat is simply calories in versus calories out. Yeah. It is. And your body doesn't know the difference of a calorie.
No.
So if your basal metabolic rate, which is how many calories your body burns at rest, if you were to never get out of bed all day long, completely sedentary lifestyle, your body still burns between 1,800 and 2,500 calories a day.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go get your basal metabolic rate tested, and it's free. So you go get your basal metabolic rate tested. And if it says 2,000 calories, cool. Now, you just eat 2,000 calories or less, and you lose weight. It's that simple. You could eat 2,000 calories of Snickers bars and lose fucking weight.
It's just two Snickers bars, though.
It's not much food at that point, right?
I think this is a completely off topic. I think you're correct. I think that this is totally off topic. I think my metabolic rate changes.
It does. Yeah, it's something you want to check every quarter.
I don't mean like changes every month. I mean, I think that it changes depending on my amount of activity in a given day.
Well, like basal metabolic rate is your calorie burn at rest, but then you have activity throughout the day that will increase your total calories burned throughout the day.
Yeah, so, no, I get that.
So like, let's just say for round numbers, my BMR is 2,000. And then between my gym routine and a 3-mile walk, I burn 500 calories. And by the way, guys, your Apple Watch is fucking lying to you. There ain't nobody that does a 1,000-calorie workout in 45 minutes.
Oh, all those smartwatches and stuff are junk.
Yeah.
None of that shit's true.
If you really want to do it, you actually get a heart rate monitor on it, and you let it learn your heart rate, and it will be more accurate than anything.
And it's still not great.
But ultimately, let's just say I do a 500-calorie workout between my lifting in the gym and a 3-mile walk. So that means my calorie burn today is 2,000 or 2,500. If I do the lifting in the gym and I do my walk and I consume 2,000 calories, I will have lost 1/7 of a pound of fat today. A pound of fat is 3,500 calories. You can lose 1 pound of fat a week just by putting yourself in a 500-calorie deficit. Notice how I didn't say I eat chicken and I eat rice and I eat salad and I eat okra and I eat kale and all this other horse shit that people are trying to sell you.
I do love a good salad.
I love salad.
Oh, fucking love good
love
salad.
But it's calories in versus calories out, and that is it. Now, if I wanted to build muscle in the gym and I wanted to burn only body fat and not any muscle, there are modifications I could do to those exercises to burn only fat and build muscle at the same time. But most fat fuckers out there don't need that. Most fat fuckers out there need to put the fucking spoon down.
Yeah, they do.
And then they also need to hold themselves accountable to, well, I did really, really good, but then I got up at 3 a.m. and I found the little Debbie's in the pantry, and next thing I know, the box was empty. Bro.
Dude, it's so funny you say that.
Calories in versus calories out. Like, that's exactly what it is.
I've seen you and your wife both on a ski trip wake up at 1 a.m. and devour a box of cookies.
Hell yeah. That was when I was on the gummies. I don't do that anymore.
It's funny that you brought that example up. That's all I'm saying.
It's very real.
I can't. My problem is, I know we're talking fitness for some reason, but like I can't. So last year, I think it was right about this time, last year, I was eating 200 grams of protein a day.
Mm-hmm.
And 2,000 calories. And I wasn't counting my calories that I was eating and my protein together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and I was trying to put on, I was trying to get to 180.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now I'm like 162.
Mm-hmm.
It 4 months of that, I gained 3 pounds.
Yeah.
3 pounds.
Weren't eating enough.
Dude, I was eating 200 grams of protein and eating between 2,000 and 2,500 calories a day at 160.
Mm-hmm. You weren't eating enough.
I can't eat that much.
You know why?
I can't eat that much. Because my body, when I fire up and I am seriously working, like if I'm working out for an hour a day, hour mm-hmm. and a half a day, and I'm cutting firewood and I'm working, my body is burning calories at a rate that I don't, like, it's just, it's insane.
No, what
it's
the reason
insane.
The reason why you didn't put on weight is because if you're focused heavy on protein to build muscle, protein rich foods are they're not very nutrient dense. In other words, eat 200 steak. Grams of chicken, you are gorging yourself
on
chicken.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Right.
It was horrible. I was eating a lot of red meat.
200 grams of protein in chicken. And well, there's not very it's not very calorie dense.
A lot of so the extra was protein shakes.
Yeah.
On top of.
Yeah.
So
for guys that have trouble putting on weight, they make mass gainer shakes where it's literally like a 1,200 calorie shake.
Dude, I can't.
And
I felt like shit.
Well, you felt like shit because you were gorging yourself on nutrient stuff that wasn't nutrient dense.
My point, I think, is some of us just aren't built to do that.
It can absolutely way underestimate what it takes to grow muscle.
It can happen. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm saying you and I were talking about this earlier with people that shouldn't have kids but mm-hmm. have kids. Sometimes science, nature, whatever is like, dude, you're built to be this.
Yeah.
Like you can be a badass hard version of this, but you can't be this.
Right.
Like
the amount
of extra stress you have to put on your body to get that is unnatural for you.
The people underestimate what it takes to build a muscle. You don't just eat protein and build a muscle.
At over 40, yeah, I'll give you that.
Under 40.
Dude, at 28, you can build a serious muscle fairly easy.
Not by just eating protein.
Disagree.
Yeah, you have to. The only way to grow a muscle is to work it out to failure, which most people don't even do. They work it out to the point where they give up.
Yeah, they're tired.
You have to work it out to the point of failure. The point of failure is you're actually creating tiny tears in your muscle, and then that fucking hurts.
Oh,
2 days and 3 days later,
it hurts.
Your muscles hurt, but then you have to follow that up with your body weight in protein. Because that's where the protein, that's why you eat the protein, is
it fills those cracks.
Protein fills the muscle,
yeah,
right?
I know.
And so somebody who is not working out and not going to the gym and not lifting to failure, but is eating 200 grams of protein a day, they may burn fat, but they will not put on muscle.
You can put on a gut eating just drinking protein shakes.
Well, especially the wrong protein shakes.
Yeah,
because
you can.
You look at how many carbs and calories are in some protein shakes.
There's a lot.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of junk in there.
Right. And so, again, this whole thing isn't about fitness, but it's about, like, the ultimate proof of do you have the discipline to do what you want to do in your life is can you lose 5 pounds this month? I watched, there's a guy that, I don't know why I'm still friends with him. We don't ever engage or anything else. He's a very heavy guy. Very, very heavy guy. He's all the time talking about how he's on this fasting diet and this fasting diet and this fasting diet, and his before and after pictures look fucking identical. And he looks the same now as he did 3 years ago. And it's like,
Jesus,
come along with my journey on my weight loss journey. Well, today or yesterday or the day before, he posted a picture of 3 years, 5 pounds lost. And it's like, bro, I could lose 5 pounds in a week if I wanted to.
Dude, that's borderline sad. Like
yes.
Dude, I'm one, seriously.
That is somebody with zero discipline.
I'm between 160 and 165 at any given moment. I could lose 5 pounds, which for me is a lot in a fucking week and a half.
And
like, come on.
The guy, like, we're talking jowls like you wouldn't believe. I mean, we're,
this guy's eating pounds of
bacon. You can't see his collared shirt.
That's not good.
And it's like, dude, you're not, all you're doing is advertising the world that you do not have discipline, right?
Yeah.
And especially now, today's day and age, with all the tirzepatides and Ozempics and all the other things, like, there's options out there for you. Now, that requires a different level of discipline, because if you're on those, for one, they're not cheap. So you got to be disciplined financially to pay for them. For two, you can't eat through those. You'll get sick and you'll hate it. And then you quit taking them.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I didn't like the way it made me feel. Well, yeah, that's called hunger. You could use a little bit of it. Right?
Stop fat shaming this guy.
I'm being real. I have enough respect for him to hold him to the standard, right?
Oh, man.
But ultimately, put yourself through some challenges, some little inconveniences that you have to have the discipline to stick to every day. And that nobody is going to, you don't have to tell the world, like, contrary to popular belief, you can go to the gym and not post about it on social media. Contrary to popular belief, you can go walk 3 miles and not tell the world about it.
Dude, I hate social media. We talk about this all the time. I fucking hate it.
Right. So,
I'll give an example that, like, for you and I,
mm-hmm.
right? I do not, the days we don't have calls, I don't have to go down to the office at 7:30, 7:45 and work.
Right.
No one's making me.
No one's making you.
If I go down there, I'm still going to write myself a check later.
Right.
But the discipline in going down there is what drives success.
Yeah.
Like, if I, just a little look into my psyche, if I don't give a flying dog shit what anyone else thinks about me. Never have, never will, don't care. You don't like it, get fucking on down the road.
Yep.
I am more disappointed in myself than anyone else will ever be if I don't do things.
Yeah.
Like, I only care. I shouldn't say only care. I care too much when I let myself down in my own daily routine or activities that I have to do or things that I should, quote unquote, be doing that I've set up for myself.
Right.
Like, that is, to your point, of the standard starts inside personally. Like, once you develop that, you will be successful in everything in your life.
Yeah.
You will hold other people to high standards. You will hold your friends to high standards, like government officials to high. Everything is changed once you understand. Once I set these goals for myself and you hold yourself to that standard and accountability, your mindset changes.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say your mindset changes. You have changed your mindset.
Yeah.
And
hardcore.
What's important. That is a true sign of personal growth.
Yeah.
And a, like, one of those things that you're like, okay, I'm at the next level here.
Yeah.
Dan Bianchi, the fucking jiu-jitsu that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Dan's a member of Tradewinds, a dear friend of ours. Love the guy to death. He is a badass. He's our age.
Mm-hmm.
He still gets up at like 5 a.m. and goes and does jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brown belt. I'm like, dude, why?
That's a standard.
Has a standard. Set the standard for himself. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to do. You think his ass don't fucking hurt every day he gets? He's like Deadpool.
Yeah.
getting off the
climbing
car.
Off that car.
Every day. I guarantee he is.
Yep.
Does it anyway.
Does it anyway. Right.
Set a standard for himself, follows it, and then that standard follows him around in his daily life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't get it. I envy the guy for it. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm not saying that this is easy, because it's not.
No, being a successful individual and holding yourself to a high standard is the hardest thing you can do in life.
Yeah. Well, and especially like on the food thing. If you are a fat fuck, then...
How about a person that loves food and to eat?
Well, so here's the challenge with somebody who's obese.
Makes me laugh.
And I'm not being offensive or derogatory by calling you a fat fuck. There's a guy in my gym right now who is fucking lean and mean. And they just posted I didn't know this guy used to be a fat fuck. And they just posted a transformation photo. He was big.
Really?
And now he's
not. Good for him, dude.
And hey, I saw him in the gym and I'm like, bro, I didn't know you were a former fat fuck. And he was like, hell yeah. I'm like, welcome to the other side,
you
man.
You fucking gym bros are such douches. But,
so I don't say that derogatory. It just is what it is.
It is what it is. It's funny to me.
But like, giving up food addiction is not easy.
No.
Okay?
It's like cigarettes, man.
But... it's even worse than cigarettes. Your body doesn't need cigarettes to live.
Not true. Nicotine changes your body chemistry, but go on. It's almost heroin.
Okay.
Sugar,
how many calories are in a cigarette?
Number one.
How much nutrition is in a cigarette?
Most addictive chemicals on the planet.
I'm not.
Sugar?
Yeah.
Number one.
Yep.
Nicotine, number two. Heroin, number three.
Totally. However, your body doesn't need any of those to live.
To start, yes.
Right?
Once you're on it, yeah.
And so...
Then yes,
well, it feels like your body needs it to live, but that's the addiction. What I'm saying is like...
Well, that's also hunger.
If you're addicted to eating 8,000 calories a day and your BMR is 6,000 calories a day because you're so fat and your heart's having to work so hard to pump blood through all that.
Yeah.
It's not good. Not healthy, man. The bigger you
Change
are, the
your
higher
life.
Your BMR is.
Yeah.
But if you're addicted to eating that, that's like saying... Heroin is required to live, but just do a little less.
That's actually what they do for a while. But
that's how you wean off of it.
Yeah,
that's how you break the addiction.
Yeah, because you give yourself a heart attack.
But that's like people that have a food addiction, it's the hardest thing in the world to break because...
Yeah, you got to eat.
You got to eat to live. It's just eat less.
Yeah.
Right? And... If anybody is listening to this and they are feeling at all inspired to lose weight, don't fucking overcomplicate it. It's calories in versus calories out. Go to your local fitness center. Go to your local supplement superstores. Go anywhere where they have an in-body scanner, and they will tell you what your BMR is, your basal metabolic rate.
Yeah, I should go.
And then once you learn your BMR, count calories. It's not fucking rocket science.
No.
Then eat less eat as many calories as your BMR, and then let your daily activities. I'm not talking fitness. I'm not talking exercise. No gym membership
steps.
Needed.
You're talking steps.
I'm talking steps around the house, your daily activity. If you work from home, then yeah, maybe you should go on a 3-mile walk. Maybe.
Get a standing desk.
If you work out and about where you have to walk from your car, like just your normal daily activities, mowing the lawn, shoveling the driveway, vacuuming the house, your normal shit. If you consume your BMR's worth of calories, you will lose body fat. And you will lose it slowly and predictably, and you will develop a habit to keep it off. It is that simple. So the reason we wanted to talk about standards again is because I know that most of our listeners that listened to the show about standards 7 episodes ago didn't do shit. Well, here we are talking about it again because we know you didn't do shit. And if you're going to listen to the show and not take the advice, then what the fuck are you doing? Like, quit wasting your time. We want people here that are going to, like, change their lives from listening to this show. And then laugh at David and I's poor political humor. But
speak for yourself. Like, my humor's fantastic.
At some point, just going through the motions becomes the biggest fucking waste of time ever. Right?
There is nothing less satisfying than going through the motions through your daily life.
Yeah.
Nothing will make you more depressed than doing the same old, every day, every week,
yeah,
every month. Like, it is... That's why so many people are depressed, man.
Yeah.
They just, they're like, I'm just going to do it. This is what I do.
And if you feel like all you're doing is going through the motions in your business, find a standard to track and track it. Learn what it takes to make that standard happen. Learn what it takes to make that metric what it is, and then learn what it takes to manipulate it.
Join TradeWinds for 1 month.
Change that too.
Change some stuff in your business and tell yourself when you sign up, I'm dropping out after 1 month. Or
good luck.
Email us. No, email me immediately.
Most people don't.
Email me immediately and say, hey, I'm signing up for 1 month. Can you cancel my membership at the end of my date? I don't want it to reoccur. I'll do it.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yep.
I'll do it.
So
take some things, implement them, and move on with your life. Do something.
If you have a CRM in your business, start tracking some of the metrics your CRM will give you. Revenue per day, dollars per day, tasks sold per call, hours worked. Track something and then start learning what it takes. Like when this number's up, is this good or bad for my business? When this number's down, is this good or bad for my business? Start finding ways to get dedicated to the metrics that drive the standards of your business. And I guarantee you, once you start diving into your CRM and getting metrics and you learn what it takes to change them, you're going to develop a standard in your company that says, we want this metric over here, so therefore we have to have this standard in place to do that.
Yeah.
And then it gives you something to hold yourself accountable to. Speaking of CRMs, FieldPulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It has advanced features to work as your CRM. It'll handle your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching. It'll provide you good, better, best proposals. It'll run your maintenance plans, and it'll even import the TradeWinds price book. Plus, FieldPulse integrates with software you are currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, FieldPulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying this. FieldPulse has a 4.8 rating with over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head to the link in the description at the bottom of this show. Check out FieldPulse. So,
FieldPulse.
Ultimately, put some fucking standards in your place in your life. And if you're worried about where to start, start with fitness. Start with health. Start with weight. If you're underweight, put some standards in place to gain weight. If you're overweight, put some standards in place to lose weight. If your weight's perfect, awesome. Move on to something else. Track something else. Look at your bank account every day. Figure out what it takes to make your bank account go up and down. Look at every expense that comes through your bank account and figure out what you can cut out and what you don't need. Like, there's always things to do. It's the problem is we just get too comfortable and too lazy to enforce standards. I've lived this long without standards. What good could it do? And then you see your buddy driving a nice car, or your buddy buying a nice property, or your buddy buying a nice toy.
Must be nice.
No, yeah, it is fucking nice. It is nice to live with a set of standards result in this.
Yeah. You can change at any time.
Yeah.
But people, I just don't think they understand. It is up to you to do whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah.
This is America. You can have anything you want.
You'll be wherever you
want
to be.
You can't have everything you want, but you can have anything you want.
Yeah.
You literally can decide, this is what I'm going to do.
Yep.
That's it. It's fucking that simple. The problem is you got to get out of your own fucking way.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's just being lazy.
Yep. That's exactly
it's
what it is.
It's fucking sad.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it's sad. It's disappointing to me when I see the opportunities out there and I know people aren't taking advantage of them. This is something I deal with. We've talked about this before. I see a ton of opportunity in a ton of different areas. I don't have the bandwidth to jump on all of them.
Right.
I have to stay in my lane. I have to focus on what I can focus on and pick the best ones and go with them. Yep. Right. But that doesn't mean they're not out there for anyone else that wants to do it. Yeah. And then I talk to a guy and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm working at the same electrical place I've been working at. Well, what are you making? $35 an hour. I'm the foreman on the commercial side and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you've been in the trade 20 years. What are you doing?
Well, some people are complacent with that.
That's my point. There's opportunity for them, but then that same person is like, oh, I wish I could get a new boat.
Yeah.
I wish I could get a new house. I wish I could pay my truck off. Dude, you're stuck where you're stuck because of your decisions and the choices you're making on a daily basis.
And not because of a lack of motivation, but because of lack of a discipline and adherence to strict standards.
Yeah. Are you telling me you couldn't work a few nights a week on side work and build up some money and then start your own business?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, no fucking shit, it's a lot of work. Do you want these things?
Yeah.
Or do you want to stay where you're at? It's literally that fucking simple.
Yeah.
Make the decision. If not, quit fucking bitching about it.
Yeah. That's ultimately what it, like, I don't care that, like, if people want to live at a different quality of life and in a different set of expectations, fine.
Yeah.
There's different walks for everybody. But the moment you complain about the haves having something that you don't.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Then you've lost all ability to complain.
People wonder why my friend circle is so small. And it's because I'm tired of hearing people complain about not having good shit. And it's because they're fucking lazy and don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm just tired of hearing about it. I'm sorry.
Yep.
What do you want me to say, man? There's like, you literally have, and I'm going to toot my own horn here. You have someone that will literally sit down with you for 2 hours a week, if you want, for free, maybe three or four times, and help you lay out a plan to get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right here. I will help you do whatever you want. You want advice? You fucking call me.
Yep.
I will sacrifice my time for you. And
they'd rather spend the 2 hours bitching.
And they can't even fucking do that.
Yeah.
So fuck you. Sorry, you're out of my circle. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't love you. It's that I'm fucking tired of hearing you complain.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Is that I respect you too much to spend time around you getting frustrated?
No,
I
respect my own fucking time and sanity too much.
Yeah, obviously that.
Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pick something and roll with it, dog.
Yeah.
I love you. See you.
That's exactly where keeping good standards is you're going to see motion. But also, when you realize how much dedication it takes to abide by those standards, you're going to see motion in some areas, but you're going to recognize why you don't see motion in other areas because you only have so much bandwidth. And so if your main focus is losing weight and becoming more financially sound, well, guess what? Your toy box of toys in the garage ain't building at the same time. You can't lose weight, pay off debt, and buy toys at the same time.
No, you got to sacrifice.
Right. And so when all that stuff comes around, you are putting in the work, what it does is game recognizes game. The moment you've lived by any kind of standards at all, then all of a sudden you will never say must be nice again. Because you'll realize this guy over here that seems to have it all put together, he's got the good-looking body, he's got the good-looking cars, he's got a good-looking family, he's got a good-looking house. You realize just how much he's putting in to do it.
Yeah.
And it eliminates your ability to say, must be nice.
Yeah.
So I challenge everybody, find a standard and stick to it. Find a standard, learn about it, study it, stick to it, learn what it takes to make it happen, and actually do it. Don't be like 7 episodes ago where we talked about standards and you didn't change shit.
7 weeks is 2 months.
Yeah.
Almost 2 months. It's a long time.
Yeah. You could have an extra couple grand in the bank in that time if you developed a standard around finances.
Yeah.
So make sure it happens. Other than that, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks.